WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri. Man, we have a full studio this morning. We're going to talk some hockey, some girls-fed hockey, trying to line up with the playoffs they're looking at. And we have Rick Hopkins in studio to help explain that. We have Frank Wolf. We have Roger Weiss, Tom Prince, Francis Beck, WNY Athletics in the house. We have John Simon producing. All of that and more on Inside High School Sports. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Morning, Tony.
Morning.
Rog, you're just looking at me, and you're way late on your line. He's shaking his head.
I'm sorry, Anthony. I'm, you know, and you're no help. You never help me out on these things.
I try not to.
Well.
Get closer to the mic.
If the groundhog sees a shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter. So that takes us to March 16th. If he doesn't see a shadow, we're going to have an early spring. So at the latest, March 15th, the Ides of March. The calendar says spring don't start till March 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Could you help me out, Anthony? I mean, you know, more confused than usual doesn't even qualify for the way I feel about all this stuff.
When we get to the break, I'll pour some milk and we'll have some cookies and we'll sit down and we'll explain it, okay?
Anyway, apologies. Morning, Nate, if you're listening. Morning, Anthony. Morning, guys. Morning, y'all.
Thank you.
3 weeks since we did the morning, y'all.
Yeah, you've been you were stranded in Boston. Because of the weather, but glad to have you back in studio. Not the same when
I don't know what
here.
It was like up here. Orchard Park probably got the worst. We were lucky in Boston if it was just wasn't like the two previous weeks.
It was just a crazy couple of weeks.
And then when I was down south yesterday.
Don't complain. Tom was trapped.
Well, I'm sure he was right.
Well, I was in Chicago where it was minus 65 degrees.
Oh, ho, 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 ho,
and
man.
And then once I got out of there, I was coming home to Buffalo to the blizzard / minus 33 degrees.
Oh, by the way, guys, do not use blizzard when it comes to this past week. They're trying to compare this to the blizzard of 77.
No,
there were
not
blizzard,
even,
no,
not
it was
even, no,
time.
No, no,
but it was
no,
blizzard-like
no.
conditions.
Oh,
when
yeah,
you have
but
45-mile-an-hour winds coming down with snow, I mean, it's blizzard-like conditions.
Right.
It is.
Maybe not to the severity that 77 was.
Not even close. We didn't have ways to communicate. We didn't have these all these different systems where they can detect blizzards and all that ahead of time. These people were prepared for it. 77, nobody was prepared for it. And the quantity and the duration was eons compared to what we had for 2 days.
What did we have off of school for a month, I think it was?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a month.
Wow. It seemed like it. It was a long time.
But no, they had so many different things, like with the cold and the fuel shortage at the time and all that. A lot of these people, workplaces were going 4-day work weeks. This was, like I said, what we had 2 days ago was like humidity as far as precipitation and a quick chill.
Whatever it was no fun.
Oh,
I'll tell
was.
You that much. And I, being essential personnel, you have no choice. You got to come to work.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so
the
there
snow
was,
was
no, I think I'm going to stay home with the kids.
It was so bad. There was enough snow and drifting that literally covered the doors of houses. People couldn't get out their house unless they crawled out of a second floor window.
We were jumping off of the roof above the porch at our house when we were kids. And to give you an idea how high the snow was.
It was brutal. It was brutal. Well, you were a teenager then, right?
Let's
You're born
see.
In 64?
Let's see. 13, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, 12. You were born late in 64.
Yeah, Frank's looking at you, old fart.
We can't all be as young as you, 70. Frank.
I was going to say 70, 71.
Woo. 70, 71. What age?
Well, no, year born.
I was born in 64. Okay. It's a few years ago.
Right after I graduated from Kensington. You were born in October?
Yeah. Yeah, October 7th, 1964. Man.
We'll start speaking slower for the Buffalo Public School grads.
Oh, a dig at Roger and myself.
Oh, yeah, the institutions of higher learning in Kenmore, right?
All I know is thank God we're not videoing this show anymore to see some of these facial expressions that are going on.
Good point. Frank, you invited Mark DiFilippo to call in, and there was a kind of kickoff news and notes here. And this is concerning the length of periods that are going to be played. Now, is this for strictly for the playoffs, or is this what's going to be for regular season? What are we going for, like 17 to 15? Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today? Staying warm, I hope?
I'm sitting in the parking lot outside the Northtown Center getting ready for a hockey game.
Oh, you're right around the corner from us. Explain what the rule change and the thinking that went into it.
Well, it was a ruling coming down from the state that basically we're going to revert back to the 15-minute periods for regional and state play. For those that have been following high school hockey, we've always had 15-minute periods. This past year, we switched to 17-minute periods, and the official's contract basically wasn't settled, and the officials refused to do the state games under their current contract, and so the State Championship Advisory Committee made a recommendation to the State Executive Committee that if we can't settle this contract, then we should just go back to the 15-minute periods. So that is what's going to happen after our sectional play. We'll go back to 15-minute periods.
So then in the off season, you'll be able to negotiate, renegotiate, whatever the case may be, and come up with a permanent system?
I don't know, to be honest with you, Tony. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, or if we're just going to stay at the 15-minute periods. I think the disappointing fact is that 2 years ago at our state hockey committee meeting, we brought this up, and for 2 years we've planned to go to the 17-minute periods, and we planned 2 years in advance just for this reason, because we knew that the officials, their working conditions changed, and they were going to want more money for the additional time, which rightfully they should get. And it was to give each section time to go and renegotiate contracts, and us in Section 6, thanks to our negotiating team, under Tim Slade's direction, we negotiated with the hockey officials here in Buffalo, came out to a good working agreement, and, made it happen. But that didn't necessarily happen across the state. We had 2 years to work on it, and some people just kind of sat on it, and it's disappointing because, you know what, the kids are the ones that get hurt. It affects the game and really makes us look bad in terms of decision-making as well.
Why am I not surprised that this is a New York State thing? Most coaches, would they prefer the 17-minute period? I would assume they would be in favor of it.
Absolutely. The feedback across the state has been overwhelmingly in support of the increased time. And what the increased time means, increasing the penalty minutes to 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and 10 minutes, just like normal hockey. For years we did a minute and a half, 4 minutes, and 7.5. Overwhelmingly the hockey coaches were super supportive of it, and now they're very disappointed that here we are, we're going to play all year one way, and now we have to go back and play a totally different way when it comes down to the state championship.
Well, that's sad that this has to happen, and hopefully everybody will be able to come to an agreement in the future and straighten all of this out. But, as you said, the kids are the ones that get hurt by this, and it seems it's like always the case that the kids are the forgotten one, or the players in all of this. Mark, thanks so much for chiming in with us, getting us up to date as to what's going on. Keep us up to date, and hopefully, as I said, this all gets straightened out.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right, Mark, take care. Mark DiFilippo. chiming in. I mean, and he's right. You play all, you go all year playing one way, and then now you approach the playoffs. Okay, you got to change it. That's not right.
No, especially when you're talking about the way that you manage a game. You know what I mean? From lines and all the different things that come into play, especially with hockey. You're talking about, you know, 2 minutes is a big difference in how you're going to manage a game and how you're going to go attack a game. I think that's it's a big difference from regular season to playoffs.
Rick, I mean, from a coach's standpoint, when you're talking about preparing your team and you're looking at this, you've been going 17 minutes all year. Now you got to go down to 15, and the penalty minute changing. How does that change your perspective from a coaching standpoint?
You know, the line changes. You like to have a deep bench if you're playing in a longer, 17 minute periods. But the big difference is on the power play and the penalty kill. To have that extra 30 seconds is huge, because you see a lot of schemes where it might take you 30 seconds or so to figure out what the power play is doing and adjust defensively, and the same from defensive standpoint. But it is to change before the playoffs. I just can't understand why New York State would do that and just instead of playing out the season through the playoffs and then explore it at the state meetings in May.
And from a conditioning standpoint and a skating standpoint, is it going to be that much of a difference for the players?
Yeah, when you 6 minutes, especially when the girls, we play 15-minute periods, 6 minutes is a good chunk of hockey. It's almost, a half a period.
That is a lot.
Is it two shifts per
Frank?
Line?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
at least a shift and a half per line. I went back and crunched some numbers. Now, Francis, we probably get to 8 to 15 games on any given week. Boys and girls, how many goals were scored in that final minute of a period or at the end of a game, so that those extra 2 minutes are huge. I counted 12 alone that I've been at where a goal was scored with less than 2 minutes to play in a game.
Wow.
Not just a period, in a game. So
good
it is
point.
It is huge.
All right, guys, let's get back into news and notes. Francis, go ahead.
Well, Stephen Boyd from Cardinal O'Hara, you might remember him, a big piece of that Cardinal O'Hara football team this past year. He announced his commitment to Mercyhurst, so congrats to him. We have a big congratulations to wrestling coach Mike Missouri from St. Francis. He picked up his 300th career victory as a coach. And some updates from Tim Slade. Indoor track and field meet at Houghton College is on for today, as well as the wrestling meets. Our Matt O'Rourke is at there. And then the cheerleading championships are going to be tomorrow. They're still on, but they have been moved from Buffalo State to Star Point, so keep in mind that. And then we have another news and note. Andrew Peralt from Louport has officially signed to run D1 track and field and cross country at Canisius College.
Roger, did you have anything?
Just a couple of things. I was down at Southwestern High School last night. Aaron Raddick went over 1,000 points last night.
Nice.
She needed 25 going into the game. The first half, she was held to, I believe, 6 points, maybe 8. And I says, you know what? The way Maple Grove's playing defense, maybe I should just go pass up on the second half and go down to Davidson's. Well, I fortunately did not decide to do that. And she had quite a third quarter, and early in the fourth quarter, she had 1,000 points. They beat Maple Grove. Now it looks like they got the lock on the CCAC, whatever, one or two, east or west. So they're... again, congratulations. She's fun to watch, especially if you're not familiar with her. You go down there and you look at the warm-ups before they take their warm-up jackets off and you can't read the numbers. And you're saying, gee, I wonder which one's Aaron Raddick. It'd probably be the fourth or fifth choice.
There's going to be a number of signings on Wednesday. It's a national signing day. Just to follow up for Francis.
Canisius has theirs coming up.
Yeah, Tristan Vandenberg will officially sign his letter of intent to go play in Ohio. But I believe there's 4 students, athletes from Williamsville North on the docket as well. So plenty of signings this Wednesday. Congratulations
cool.
to all those athletes.
Yeah, and then also March 30th, and this year it will be at Park High School, not at Canisius High School, will be the senior boys and girls games. We've come up with a bunch of candidates. They will be mailing out letters to the schools, inviting the candidates and all that. But it'll be March 30th, probably. If it's the same time as last year, it'll be 12:30 and 2 o'clock. Don't hold me to those times, but figure Senior Day, March 30th in the afternoon.
All right. The schedule has come out for the 2019 clinics and meetings at the Elks Lodge, 33 Legion Parkway in Lancaster. Monday's at 7:30, and it's going to kick off Monday, February 11th. The University of Buffalo's Andy Kotelnicki, co-offensive coordinator, running backs, and they're going to talk run-pass options on Monday, February 25th. Colgate University's Paul Schaffner, best defensive schemes to win. That's one that I need to go to. March 11th, a doubleheader. They're going to have Bates College and OP Syracuse grad Garrett McLaughlin, running backs and special teams, and then Ed Rabby, defensive coordinator of Mooresville State. March 18th, Brockport State, they're sending their best. And let's see, April 1st, Alfred University head coach Bob Rankel, offenses that win. And then on the 15th of April, 7 o'clock, at Buff State, head coach Christian Oslins and staff, they're going to do offensive drills, best play, and much more. So there's your schedule for the Monday night clinics and meetings that will be held at the Elks Lodge in Lancaster. All right, time for our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. And remember, to nominate a coach, you need to go to livefit.com. That's livefit.com. That's where you go. You put in the information, coach, the school, and the reason why you are nominating that coach. And this week we selected Kristen Wegren of Grand Island Girls Basketball, organizing a beautiful tribute to Julie Roth Neville. And Tom, you were there. You got to speak to many on hand there.
Yeah, we've actually now done two ceremonies for Julie. We were part of the Kenmore Ken East
game. That's right.
Where they actually donated four scholarships to the four boys that were that are part of the family, correct? Then we got to see Grand Island do their thing, and it was unbelievable. What was ceremony was about?
They retired her jersey. Yeah, number 24 was it?
Yeah, number 24, which is actually in honor of her father, who wore 24 his whole career in both high school and college. Her brother also wore 24, if I'm correct, out there too, and then hence is why she wore it. And now they have retired the number. No one will wear 24 again. What is very unique is that our coach that we've just nominated here played for Julie also. So she was a player underneath Julie and has now had the chance to play and coach.
Wow, that had to be so difficult, though. All the emotions that run through your mind, and not to mention, oh, by the way, I have to coach a game.
Right, well, and she did. She emceed the entire event, and then went and coached the game right afterwards.
Wow.
What was really nice, shout out to Roy Hart for stepping in kind of last minute. Yeah. This is supposed to be a league game with CSAT, but CSAT had to back out because of the weather, and so they were able to bring in Roy Hart. It was... Actually, they put it together as a scrimmage, but they were able to have the night with the JV and varsity go on, and they had the ceremony in between.
Wow. Well, kudos to all involved, and congratulations to Kristen Regman, our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. So that'll do it for news and notes. Girls Fed Hockey's, we're just about playoff time. When is the last regular season?
Regular season finished up about a week and a half ago.
Oh, I thought we were finishing this week.
No. We were supposed to be playing in the championship, the Section 6 championship, Monday night at the Harbor Center. But the storm wiped out the three quarterfinal games on Tuesday, and the semis were supposed to be Thursday. So now we've, the coaches did a great job scrambling. We had our end of the season meeting Monday night. We were able to come up with three sheets of ice on Monday for the quarters. We got two sheets of ice, different locations on Tuesday for the semis, and then the Section 6 champion will be crowned 4:30 game at the Northtown Center Wednesday afternoon. And then it's a short turnaround for the champion. At least they don't have to travel very far because we're hosting the state championships Friday the 8th and then Saturday the 9th down at Harbor Center. But we had to scramble. It's going to mean three games in a row for potentially for one of the teams in the finals. And, you know, it could be six games in 5 days overall. But that's what happens when you get the weather like we had last week.
Were you guys panicking like, oh, no, don't do this to us?
Well, it helped having that Monday night meeting. So we kind of had, you know, the coaches did a great job. Matt Miller, you know, worked with Dave Sindor from Lancaster. They found some ice at Holiday Twin for their quarterfinal game. The Bob Klimowitz, the flop coach, came up with a semifinal sheet 3 o'clock out at the Nike base in Hamburg for Tuesday. And we got a Riverworks game, 4:30, Williamsville and Niagara County. And then the 6 o'clock game at Harbor Center, which was supposed to be our championship sheet of ice. Amherst Sweet Home Clarence is playing against West Seneca, Hamburg Eden at 6. So we'll have our, you know, three quarterfinals. Flop gets a bye as a top seed on Monday, and then the two semis on Tuesday and the championship game on Wednesday. And it's almost like the schedule we've had in the past with, you know, but with a day off in between. We usually have had our semis on Monday with a Wednesday championship and the winning team going on to the States, which we get to host this year at Harbor Center.
Well, kudos, first of all, to the operators of the rinks that are able to be flexible for you guys. And because I'm sure that, you know, they're looking at, they had probably had things locked in. You have to make calls. Okay, let's try to move this to that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's different when you have a gymnasium. You can just, okay, who can we move in there? But coaches did a great job. Nicola Adamy came up with her practice sheet of ice on Wednesday for our championship game, which was nice. And so we're fortunate that we're able to pull it off. I don't think there's any meteorologists in this room because we were debating the blizzard factor earlier, but it looks like the weather next week is going to be okay to play.
Excellent. All right, let's
you have to worry about the ice melting.
Yeah.
50 degrees?
Yeah, you go we from blizzards to same, flooding.
I'm willing to play a meteorologist on TV if they need me to.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, more with Rick Hopkins and get updated as to the playoffs. I don't know, kind of find out what players have been doing what since the last time we talked girls hockey. We'll have all that and more. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri. We have Frank Wolf, Francis Beck, Don Prince from WNY Athletics, Roger Royce, our resident troublemaker, Rick Hopkins in studio to talk. Well, you are a troublemaker.
You say the nicest things, Anthony.
Rick Hopkins in here talking girls hockey. Frank, last year at this time, you were actually filling in for me.
And I was fired, I think, 6 weeks later.
Oh, because yesterday marked the anniversary of my first surgery. So I remember you were holding down the fort while I recuperated. So this is kind of nice being back in the studio.
Did you notice there's still garbage underneath here that was there? Tim Horton's bag. Paula's donut cup.
Derek Kramer, I think, left some French fries under there for you if anybody's interested. Rick, you've been coaching since day one in girls' fed hockey. So, you know, you, Bill Pavone, you guys are the dinosaurs of the league.
Don't mention Bill because I take the brunt of this. And, in fact, in any second he's going to start texting me, leave my name out of it. Full disclosure, right, Rick?
Yeah, all right, well, I'll refer to him as Chili Billy from now on.
Unless he brings too some late Chili now. Billy coupons.
Yes, like some Choco Tacos.
No, Bill's done a great job. I know he hates
I have to mention him because of everything that he does. You look at the Facebook page that he runs for Western York Girls Hockey. And, I mean, it's fantastic. His commitment to the game as well as bringing girls hockey to varsity level.
Right. He won the Russin Award the first year, which was named in memory of Dr. James Russin, who helped get the league started. But, you know, Bill does a great job. He doesn't get paid. You know, he helped get the Kenmore team on the ice, but he's just as dedicated to the other seven teams in the league. His passion, and, you know, he's all about getting more publicity for the girls and more recognition for all eight teams that are in the Fed. And we're lucky to have him in our corner, and he's done a great job helping organize the state tournament, which we're hosting, along with Janet and Randy Schultz, that have really helped out.
They do a fantastic job, too. Now, you know, and the reason why I'm bringing up that you've been there since day one, the difference between the difference in competitiveness of what we have now compared to day one, the first season.
Oh, it's night and day. It's the level of play has increased with the number of travel players that are in the league. In the amount of time that the girls are putting into the sport, not just in the winter months, but in the spring and in the summer as well. But very competitive, and it's great that we have the defending state champion, too. After all the trips we've made to the state finals, it was nice to have the champion flop winning it all last year. And that helped. You know, big year for us with our eighth team added. First time ever we've added a team. Other schools have joined current teams combined, but Niagara County came in this year, and they've done a great job in their first season. It's balanced our schedule where we've played a 14-game schedule. Greg Grosskopf has done a great job coaching, keeping those girls positive. They didn't win a game, but their real victory was going to their school boards for the last 3 years and convincing, you know, Star Point and Ira Wheatfield to recognize and put a girls' team on the ice. So it's an exciting year for that, and also the fact that we're hosting the state tournament for the second time.
Now you have a unique playoff system, and it's probably one of the reasons why it throws me off every year is I forget that you guys split your postseason. Explain that to our audience who are not familiar with how that works.
Right. We do have two championships. Well, we're hosting the state, so there's going to be three champions crowned in Western New York this year. But Section 6, as we know, doesn't allow the Catholic or private schools in the playoffs. And the first 2 years of the league, we had our federation championship like we have every year. But our Section 6 champion did not go to the state tournament because it just didn't work with our schedule. And when I became chairman after Dr. Russin handed me the reins, I said, you know, we've got to get our sectional champion to the state tournament for exposure and to help grow the sport in Section 6, but also across the state. So we have our Section 6 championship because the state championship is always the first or second weekend in February. After that, we have our federation championship, which includes the Monsignor Martin team, which is made up of all the girls' Catholic schools in the area. So two championships because we don't want to, you know, exclude anybody. And it's, you know, it's kind of nice. It gives you a shot to win. You win two. It's tough enough winning one championship. And, you know, look what Flop did last year. They won all three. And, you know, Kenmore a couple of years, they won the sectional title and the federation title. And Monsignor Martin is a powerhouse every year. And they've won a number of federation titles. So it's really nice that everyone's included to win a championship.
You know, as we quickly go in, let's get started on some of the names. I'll start with your team. I thought you guys might have taken a back seat. You lost a lot of star power, some kids who went to some D3 powers in Plattsburgh, and you guys seemingly picked up where you left off. You have the Fed's leading scorer, Emma Rowland. What do you
do? You know, you have the Bill Belichick of girls hockey sitting in studio right
he's
now.
He's not wearing a hoodie.
No, you have the Bill Belichick of girls hockey here.
No, maybe the Marv Levy. Been runner up a lot like Marv. which I don't mind that. No, but you know, you look at our graduating class last year, you know, nine seniors moving on. Holly Schmelzer up at Plattsburgh and Amanda Gaffney playing regularly at Cortland and scoring goals there. And, you know, I really thought it was going to be a rebuilding year with such a large senior class, but have a big junior class. And it includes the Rowland twins. Emma and Aaron came back to play after a few years off because of the busy schedules all the girls have with travel, hockey, you know, field hockey clinics, lacrosse clinics that go on, softball during the winter months. But you know, we were able to look at our lineup and you know, Vanessa Willick, a freshman who's scored double digits in goals, she was a surprise because you never know until your tryouts who's coming out to your team. And we've been fortunate. I was looking at our schedule the other day. We've won a number of one-goal games. And as you guys know, the girls' Fed is extremely competitive. You can, you know, throw out the records during the regular season for regular season games, and even more so when the playoffs roll around, because everyone has solid goaltending, and that's, you know, in a top five that if they were on the ice all the time are very strong as well. So yeah, we were surprised at, you know, to find ourselves up in the standings, but you know, the season starts on Monday.
I was just going to say the fact that, you know, and I say it every year when we talk hockey, boys or girls, whoever has the hottest goaltender at the time could win it all. You could be the top team, or you could be the fourth or fifth best team. And even farther on down, the hot goaltender turns things around.
Yeah, and the Fed is just loaded with top-notch, tier one travel goalies, and you know, the OP Frontier. You know, Brooke Becker is their the big name there, but they have a very deep team, and especially in goal, Victoria Cottrell and Maggie Speech do a great job. They're both seniors, and you know, they're both strong. And you know, Chris Malecki with his Monsignor Martin team, he's got Izzy Battaglia, Grace Harrington, two very strong goalies. And though, you know, those two teams, I think, you know, Monsignor Martin's maybe given up 22 goals, and Flop maybe 23. So they're very strong. And Dylan Gorski, the Lancaster Iroquois DePew goalie, top-notch. Sissy Harmon from West Seneca, I mean, she's Hamburg Eden. She set a record last year with, I think, close to 70 saves, and she's strong. And you look at the Amherst team. They have a seventh-grade, you know, Amherst, Clarence, Sweet Home, seventh-grader playing goal, and she's doing a great job, Kylie Page. And, you know, because they're an explosive offensive team that Nikki has, but, you know, they've been getting by with a goalie that, you know, just came out because their starter from last year was injured. So, Roger, you're right. You know, goaltending is the key. You can have all the firepower in the world, and you get into playoffs, and you know, you outshoot a team 40-15, and you end up losing 2-1, and that could easily happen on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, because the goaltending is key.
You run into a Bernie Parent. Half the people in this room don't even know who I'm talking about.
How do you know what was going through my mind as I'm thinking?
Bernie Parent.
Yep.
Yeah, but it is nice to have.
We'll explain later, Francis.
It is nice to have goal scorers, too, and the pair of Emmas up top. Emma Rowland has done a great job for Williamsville, and Emma Faso, scoring champion, and she's going to be, she just committed to go to Plattsburgh, you know, the D3 power. So, and she was being recruited by a lot of schools, Division I schools for soccer, and I have to coach against her in lacrosse, and she's a nightmare on the lacrosse field as well. And Jersey Phillips is a magician with Lancaster Iroquois DePew. She ended up with 20 goals, as did Emma Faso, and Emma Rowland had 27, I think. But Jersey is a special player. She, you know, sees the ice extremely well, just magical hands. And you know, Brooke Becker's just a nightmare to defend. I've never seen a player skate with their head up the way she does. And you know, you shut her down, you know, and next thing you know, she's throwing a cross ice pass to someone wide open that, you know, no one saw. She's just
putting the puck right on the tape. Huh?
Yeah, and her shot from the point. I, you know, a lot of their Flop goals are scored and hockey in general are scored on rebounds, and her shots always get through. And then you look at the Monsignor Martin team. You know, they're just a nightmare to match up with. Three lines, you know, no real superstars, but you know, they have Izzy Friedman, Emily Matthews, Alexa Groh. These girls, you know, they all, I think, have 10 goals, all his top nine forwards. So they're real tough to defend. And even, you know, Niagara County, they've scored some goals. And Natalie O'Brien, their leading scorer, is a force to be reckoned with. And that line that Emma Faso plays on with Charlie Rondeau and Allison Green, tough to defend. So, you know, everyone has goaltending, but when it comes to scoring goals, you know, everyone has someone that can put the puck in the net. So, which is good. It makes, like I said, for good competitive hockey.
Francis, can you forecast the playoffs and how this is all going to shake out? Do you have a pretty good idea who's going to wind up on top?
Well, you got In Section 6, I see it's going to be flop in Williamsville again, as it usually has it's been for the past couple of years. Lid has a very strong team. They'll make it out of the quarterfinals. With Jersey Phillips, they're never a team to count out, and they had a strong start to the year. But I do like flop in Williamsville in the end. This Cash Hughes game on Monday night, that's going to be interesting. They were the last game of the regular season to play. I'll be there at Harbor Center that game. And you got, like, teams with differing styles. You got Sissy Harmon, you talked about with Hughes, the great goalie. And then you have Cash with Emma Faso and Charlie Rondeau. This great scoring team. You just never know which way the pucks bounce and, you know, on that stage, what's going to happen.
Flop's got the firepower for sure, but I think it's going to come down to a goaltender stealing a game. And that Hughes goaltender and the Gorski at Lancaster, one of those girls, if they could steal a game, and I could see them doing it, I think they could shake things up a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Hughes or a Lids playing Wednesday, but my heart tells me that they can do it. My head's telling me that Francis is probably right. It should come down to Flop in Williamsville again, but I could definitely see one of those girls stealing a game when they need to.
Well, just the fact that you guys can sit here and debate, I mean, that goes to show what we were talking about earlier of the competitiveness that we're now seeing. So it's no longer one team just running away with the league where we have, it could be any one of the teams that can wind up. And as you guys have said, a goalie can come out there and steal the whole show.
For our listeners, shouldn't we define these terms? We know what we're talking about when we say flop and lid and Hughes. Maybe somebody should define those for the listeners. Like, who the heck are they talking about?
Flop is Frontier, Lakeshore, OP.
Lid?
Lancaster, Depew, Iroquois.
See, you're good at this.
I know, but does the audience realize this?
Clarence, Amherst, Sweet Home. Kenji is Kenmore East and the Best West in Grand Island. And then there's Hughes, Hamburg, Eden, West Seneca, East and West.
And the Niagara County, Niagara which is Star Point and Niagara Weekend.
Well, they still don't have a nickname. We tried giving them a nickname.
I got one. 425s. Route 24, 425 runs through both districts.
What if they I don't think anybody liked that but you.
That's a great name.
We put that out.
Lewiston Port could be joining them next year.
That's true.
Which would be nice. All right.
Guys work on the...
By the third segment, I'll have one for you, Anthony.
All right. Let's take a break, guys. When we come back, we have one more segment to go. And then don't forget, we have Sports Talk Saturday following us at 11. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. Back one last segment of Inside High School Sports, and we're chatting with Rick Hopkins about girls fed hockey again. It's done a little different. They have three championships, and that's all starting the playoffs underway. You guys all have your matchups, you have your ice time, the scouting is in, you're exchanging notes, finding out, okay, what do we got to do to stop this team and that team. Are the coaches pretty good about helping out one another when it comes to breaking down other teams? Like, hey, watch out in their number 13.
Yeah, with the league being so small, too, with just eight teams, we normally would play each other three times during the regular season. But this year, with the addition of Niagara County, it's just two games. So everyone knows everybody else's rosters pretty well. And Jeff Orlowski and Matt Miller do a great job with the statistics. So on Bill's, website. So you just a click away and you can find out, who the scorers are, even the power play percentage, penalty kill percentage, goalie save percentage. So it's we know our rosters pretty well, but and outside the section it's hard because we don't really play many teams outside the section.
I was gonna get it. How do you prepare when you're gonna face a team that you've obviously not faced during the regular season, you may be completely unfamiliar with?
Yeah, I mean we had Williamsville, we played Ithaca this year. It's the first time a team from outside the section during the regular season has come to Western New York to play. And they finished second over in Section 3, and they're playing Scanty Atlas in their championship today. So that winner will be coming over, and the Section 3 champion will play the Section 7 champion at 8 o'clock Friday
at the Harbor Center in Section 7. It's a championship between Saranac, Lake Placid, combined team versus Plattsburgh. And they're in Section 7. And then the Section 10 champion will play the Section 6 champ at 6 o'clock on Friday. And the Section 10 championship is between Potsdam and Messina. That's also today. So I'm sure, you know, we'll be, whoever wins our championship on Wednesday will be trying to get some breakdown on Messina and Potsdam.
Because, at least go watch them. Check
because we have a little bit idea from, you know, I get to go to the championships every year as the Section 6 chairman and, you know, to see how the other sections are doing. And next year it's going to be a little bit different because we have a fifth section coming in. Section 1 is joining next year. That's Hudson Valley. So there's going to be some strong teams. You know, they've got great travel hockey down there. Mamaroneck, Brewster, that are going to be coming in, you know, as part of Westchester County. So there's some strong teams down there. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who comes down out of Section 10 and, you know, to try to help out, you know, as much as we can, whoever our champion is. If, you know, if it's Ithaca, I'll be telling whoever the coach is, hey, we played them. This is who to look for. But I wanted to give a little props to the defensemen in our league, too, because we have great scoring and great goaltending. And obviously everyone knows about Brooke Becker. Monsignor Martin's got an outstanding freshman in Cameron Brown-Scheidel. You might recognize that name. It's been in Western New York hockey for a while. Sarah Barrett.
Daughter or granddaughter?
Yeah, I don't know. She's from the Brown-Scheidel family, but she's an amazing player.
We'll explain Brown-Scheidel later, Francis.
Only a
freshman, and Elizabeth Sidorsky, who I coach at Williamsville. She's graduating with 6 varsity letters in ice hockey, 6 in field hockey, and 6 in lacrosse.
Wow.
Abby Blair. And,
isn't that kind of overdoing it, Anthony? I mean, seriously?
Yeah. But Abby Blair and Chloe Moore from Kenmore Grand Island, two, you know, solid defensemen. Anna Pitts from Lid. So, you know, great across the board. And it's just, you know, that some teams have a little bit more depth than others. But when playoffs come around, you know, benches sometimes get shortened and you get a hot goalie. And, you know, in Lancaster has Dylan Gorski. But, you know, Kenmore GI, they get their goalie back. Carolyn Bourgeau will be back in net for them. And she's a big difference maker. So, you know, we'll see how it all unfolds on Monday, but, you know, upsets happen every year.
Sure. Any talk of expansion within Section 6? Any schools looking? I know you mentioned possibly.
Yeah, Loupport is coming in next year. They're going to be.
But they're going to join the Niagara
County team.
Right.
So, you know, with Niagara County, they were the first team we've had join to make it an 8-team league. You know, there's talk that Section 5, once they heard Section 1 was coming on board. So, you know, because there's a lot of solid girls travel hockey over in Section 5. So, but for now, you know, we've pretty much covered all the bases in Section 6. But there still are some schools out there. People always say, well, you know, East Aurora has their own rink. But, you know, it helps if programs, school districts already have boys varsity hockey. Then it makes it an easy approach to school boards to say, hey, how about girls?
It's interesting that you mentioned Hudson Valley and, you know, down in, you know, basically suburban New York City, because all the other ones you were mentioning before, Messina, Plattsburgh, Potsdam, all of these are located on the Canadian border. So I'm sure the proximity to Canada and what hockey is like up there has a lot of impact. So it's nice to hear Section 5 and especially Hudson Valley hockey. Are you serious?
Yeah, they've got the backing. They've had clinics the last 2 years funded by the New York Rangers. So the Rangers have actually recognized the need for girls hockey because they've got great travel hockey down there in Section 1. So we're going to have to play, you know, next year, you know, a pigtail, a play-in game with the 5 sections. It'll be represented. So it's exciting. The sport continues to grow, and it's been great getting, you know, Niagara County on board and, you know, Loupport jumping in next year. And, you know, there's Jamestown, there's travel hockey down there, the Southern Tier, Dunkirk, Fredonia has travel hockey. So there are other areas that we're going to focus on and try to make it happen.
I'm surprised Section 8 wouldn't be involved with the Islanders. You would think.
And then
Western Long Island.
Major kudos to what you guys have done, because next year you will celebrate your 10th season, which is an incredible achievement.
Girls hockey 10 years, are you kidding me?
That went by fast.
Dude, it's really a 15-year celebration because it took us 5 years to get it on the ice. But a lot of girls have have graduated and come back to coach. I have two on my staff, Shauna Clare, who played for me in Williamsville, Rachel Leonard, who was a standout for OP Frontier, but then went to Monsignor Martin. Yeah. So it's great to see these girls coming back and helping the girls fed.
All right, guys, that's going to about do it for us. Thank you much, Rick, for spending time with us this morning. John Simon, thank you for producing. We'll talk to you guys next week with more Inside High School Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.